This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, April 16th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, Amy Guida's legal issues in the news on this day before the tax day deadline, and some word about a famous tax evasion arrest. Also coming up, a look at our forecast from meteorologist Ed Keyser, first to look at today's news. The Army's holding a public meeting tonight in western Indiana, in Clinton, Indiana, to discuss new plans for shipping waste from its treatment of a deadly nerve agent to Texas to be incinerated. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Clinton, Indiana is about 15 miles south of the Army's Newport Chemical Depot, where VX nerve agent is stored and is currently being neutralized. The Army plans to ship the resulting wastewater, also called hydrolysate, to the Veolia incineration plant in Port Arthur, Texas. Two earlier proposals for off-site processing of the hydrolysate were canceled due to public opposition. Leonard Akers of the Indiana chapter of the Chemical Weapons Working Group says the Army has been more secretive this time. He accuses an Army officer of evading questions about their plans at a meeting last month.
Colonel Jesse Barber just continually danced around that issue, and all you could get out of it, we've not signed any contracts. We're looking at all options. And it was 19 days after that we learned that they signed a $49 million contract with them to do this job.
The Army says the VX hydrolysate is caustic but relatively safe for transport, a claim the Chemical Weapons Working Group questions. They want the entire VX destruction process to be confined to the Newport Chemical Depot. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
And that meeting tonight starts at 6 Eastern Time, 5 Central Time at South Vermilion High School in Clinton, Indiana. An electrical short that stemmed from a crash has caused damage at the Vermilion County Courthouse in Danville. The courthouse was closed this morning as investigators looked into last night's incident, which sent smoke into much of the building. They believe a hit-and-run driver ran into power lines and an electrical box on the side of the building. Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich's plan to launch a gross receipts tax could result in higher gas prices. That's according to the motor fuel industry. David Sykuda with the Illinois Petroleum Council says gasoline could rise 10 cents a gallon or more, says that's due to the way a gross receipts tax would work, as it taxes each individual business transaction. Sykuda claims gasoline changes hands several times from the refinery to the pump.
It can oftentimes be sold 5, 6, even 8 or 9 times before it actually gets to the final retail buyer of the gasoline.
Sykuda says if taxed at each of those sales, the costs will mount, and gas stations would have no choice but to pass the cost along to motorists. The governor's office dismisses the claim, saying fuel prices remain lower in Ohio, where a similar gross receipts tax is already in place. But Ohio has an exemption and doesn't apply the tax to gasoline sales. Governor Blagojevich wants to raise billions through the new tax to provide more money for health care and education. Illinois is the only state that prohibits community colleges from owning student housing. But state lawmakers could change that rule to help out the two-year schools. Amanda Vinicky has more.
Many community colleges have circumvented the current law because they can't own dorms. They lease land to the school's foundation, and it builds housing. Republican Aaron Schock of Peoria says schools shouldn't have to jump through those hoops.
Getting housing is not changing the function of a community college. In fact, housing is more of a function of getting an education than anything else.
Originally, Schock wanted to allow all community colleges to offer student housing, but critics fear that ability would take students and their tuition away from four-year universities. Instead, Schock's proposing that only community colleges that serve residents of at least 8 counties have the right. He says that's where the need's greatest, as such wide geographic areas make for long commutes. However, says Democrat Kevin McCarthy of Orland Park, that would preclude most community colleges, especially those in Chicago and the suburbs.
So when they were saying that this is up to every community college, it really isn't. There's only probably 5 or 6 community college districts that are large enough that this would apply to.
The measure passed the House and now heads to the Senate. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
5 more people have sued the Roman Catholic Diocese of Peoria, accusing 3 priests of sexually abusing them when they are minors. One of the lawsuits filed last week in Peoria County also names OSF St. Francis Medical Center for an alleged sexual abuse incident there in 1957. A St. Francis spokesman declined to comment on the lawsuit. Diocesan spokeswoman Elizabeth Smarjeski said the diocese had not been notified of the suits. The filings bring to 19 the number of active lawsuits against the diocese. One of the priests charged in the lawsuits is deceased. The other two live in Pekin and Moline. Illinois legislation is aimed at preventing young students from being left on school buses. We have that story from Sean Crawford.
While there are no accurate statistics for how many children get left behind on buses, the incidents get plenty of media attention. Young, small kids especially are more apt to be missed by a driver when he or she finishes their route. While many school districts and transportation firms already have procedures in place to try to prevent such occurrences, Republican Senator Christine Redonio of Lamont says it's still a problem. She has a measure that requires each school to have a policy.
Something to ensure that the driver checks the bus before they actually turn in the keys and we don't leave children.
Redonio says longer bus rides play a part, during which a child may lie down and even go to sleep in the seat. Higher backs on bus seats also make it difficult for the driver to notice a child. Redonio tried unsuccessfully before to require all buses have systems that better illuminate the inside and have an alarm that would sound if the driver failed to follow the proper procedure. This is a scaled-back version, which could allow districts to simply require the driver to do a visual check of each seat. It won Senate approval and is awaiting action in the Illinois House. I'm Sean Crawford.
For the latest newscast online, go to wyll.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Commentator Amy Guida was particularly interested in a news item involving taxes from a few days ago, something that put her in a cheery mood on this day before tax day. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
My heart is rejoicing these days. Flowers are blooming, birds are singing, and Joe Francis has been charged with tax evasion. You know, Joe Francis, the creative genius behind the Girls Gone Wild video series. If you don't know the guy or his work, it's clear that you don't watch much late-night television. I'll leave it at that and suggest that you not change your TV-watching habits. A little less than a week before everyone else's taxes were due, the United States Department of Justice released word that a grand jury had indicted Mr. Francis on 2 felony counts of tax evasion. Now, many who know me, especially students in my privacy course, know that I'm no fan of those who produce Girls Gone Wild, so I must make extra clear here that Mr. Francis is presumed innocent until proven guilty. To quote the DOJ press release directly, the charges contained in the indictment are only allegations and will need to be proved. But I can tell you what the law says and what the feds claim Francis did. First, the whole tax evasion thing. Tax evasion is a crime under the Internal Revenue Code, Section 7201 to be exact, titled Attempt to Evade or Defeat Tax. The language within the statute is very broad and makes it illegal to willfully attempt in any manner to evade or defeat any tax or the payment thereof. Those convicted of willfully attempting such an evasion face possible imprisonment and a large fine. The DOJ press release says that if he's convicted, Mr. Francis can be put away for up to 10 years and faces fines of up to $500,000. So what have Justice Department officials accused Mr. Francis of doing? The indictment alleges that the man who put his income at $14 million in 2003 alone claimed deductions like $4 million plus for what the department says was the construction of a residence in Mexico, $10 million as a false consulting services expense, and a $1,666,666 false insurance expense. Those seemingly devilish numbers are far more than this taxpayer's form has ever seen. But large numbers or small, allegations of tax evasion aren't all that unusual. Aside from anecdotal evidence from cocktail party conversation, storylines in television sitcoms, and news coverage at this time of year, since 2000, some 1,400 court decisions in the law books have used the phrase tax evasion. A quick read of some of them turns up scenarios including false billing, sham corporations, and employee hiring and payment practices. Some that sound like the charges alleged in the Francis indictment and some not, some where the government wins and some not, but all the stuff of tax evasion, according to prosecutors at least. Lawyers for Mr. Francis are certainly reviewing those cases and others right now. His first court appearance, they say, will come in May. Ah, May. More blooming flowers, more singing birds, and the promise of seeing an uncharacteristically flustered Joe Francis heading into court. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. We've broken free from the trend of colder weather over the last couple of weeks, and this week promises to be a bit warmer. We'll have a high today ranging from 54 in northeast Indiana to around 70 in western Illinois, with sunshine across the two-state area. Ed Kieser says for tonight it'll be mostly clear, with lows from 31 in northeast Indiana to 43 in west central Illinois. And tomorrow a bit warmer still. In northern and western Illinois, increasing clouds with a chance of a few scattered showers in the afternoon. Elsewhere, still partly to mostly sunny, and highs ranging from 58 near Lake Michigan to 73 in the south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, April 16th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.